This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Oh, Dikolo makes such an interesting point now on Twitter. He says, one day we must have a conversation about, quote, the person you trust. Their influence, be it good or bad, how they influence and how they change people's behavior. How manipulation and helping can go hand in hand. Yeah. That is it. Because once you've expressed confidence and faith in someone, and you know, or rather the person knows that you have confidence and faith in them, and when they tell you something, you would believe that they have your best interest at heart as well, that there is a danger in that trust being manipulated. I think Dikolo is spot on. There is that particular danger. So we continue our conversation about churches opening. We will be speaking to Bishop Timothy Ngobo. He was on Power Breakfast this morning as well. So we'll continue that conversation. And then later on, we'll be speaking to ACDP leader, Reverend Kenneth Mishe, about this particular decision that has been taken by the state. Last night, I saw him on ENCA as well. And he welcomed it. There's also a question around what happens to certain services. Do you still baptize, for instance? Do you still have weddings? Do weddings now go ahead? What are some of the services that would be allowed during this lockdown? And now that the churches have been given the go ahead to have services, but only limited to a number of 50. We'll be continue to take your calls as well on 0619870000, your tweets at Alderman St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and you can also tweet at PowerFM987. Bishop Ngobo, listening to you this morning on Power Breakfast, certainly a decision that you are welcoming, but your concern is around the capacity. Good morning.
Yes, thank you, my brother and your listener. Yes, I think you quoted me correctly. Our main challenge now is the number. Although we are not disputing the decision, because I think we are meeting the government halfway with this 50. But yeah, the congregants that has got almost 5,000 people in one venue, it's a big challenge now that we need to face.
So when you, or I don't know, were you part of the people who were consulted by the president?
No, we were not part of those people. We were representing the indigenous churches.
Oh, okay.
And we were not part of the South African Council of Churches.
Okay. So you wouldn't know what arguments they advanced with the president?
No. There was no report after the consultation. No one was reporting as to what the president is putting on the table.
Yeah.
Except that we were just, you know, feeling that pressure as leaders of the churches that we are not recognized in a grassroots level.
Yeah. So last night, was it also the first time that you heard about this?
You heard about
there being a lift of the, well, rather that the church services can resume.
No, it was not the first time, because we take the government to the High Court through the advocate Zaya Omar. So that's where we were linked with that's where we were receiving information about what the position of the government, because when we took the government to court, and then the lawyers, the state lawyers, said they must settle this issue outside the court unless there are some disagreements that can maybe push the matter to to court. So that's where we were receiving even the guidelines. We send the guidelines through our advocate to the office of the president, and that's where we get the results yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that you guys were seeking through this application?
No, in the application, we were requesting the president just to open the churches. If not, let's get from level five. The president must give a religious leaders the permits just to visit the people and also be part of the education. With this COVID-19. So that when there is time like this where the churches are open, those pastors will be well equipped to manage all the Disaster Management Act.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's deal with this particular one where pastors would be allowed to go different houses, visit their congregants and pray for them. Has that been agreed to?
Yes, now it's agreed. With the last night announcement from President, that one is agreed.
What do you base that on?
I'm based that now the faith base must practice their faith. To me, it was interpreted that now we can able now to go and cancel. Remember, the president also highlighted that now we are free to go and cancel our congregants. So meaning that now we can go to the community and assist and partner with the government to cancel the families that are having where the COVID-19 victims are taking place, and we also have to go and to hospitals and pray for the people who are affected with the COVID-19. Meaning that now we are free to travel without any permits.
Okay, Bishop Ngobo, I'm a bit confused. There's nowhere in the speech where the president spoke about faith leaders and pastors being allowed to go to homes.
No, I think now the level three precautions. I think it allows the movement right now. Firstly, of which in my interpretation. The movement, you can now go and visit the people because he mentioned or he highlighted the issue of canceling the victims of COVID-19. So one of our responsibilities now is to go and counsel and also pray for the victims of COVID-19. Meaning that I thought that that would be the home visit because where are you going to cancel these victims?
Oh, Bishop Ngobo, I'm so sorry, Bishop. That's not how I understood it. And now I've googled the president's speech, and in the speech where. Counseling comes up. Number one, he says, our leaders in the faith community provide spiritual guidance, care, and counseling to millions of South Africans, and we are immensely grateful that from the beginning of our task of addressing this health crisis, they have stood with us and provided us advice, guidance, support, and encouragement from the very beginning. So this is number one. Where counseling is concerned. Number two, he says, our religious leaders will be recognized as essential religious frontline workers for the purposes of spiritual counseling to members for their faith organizations.
Yeah, so can you repeat that one?
So our religious leaders will be recognized as essential religious frontline workers for the purposes of spiritual counseling to members of the faith organizations.
Yeah. So that's where I come in.
So your interpretation of this means that you would now be allowed to go to houses that you don't necessarily have to counsel inside the church, that you
can actually counsel inside the church, but I think the statement is vague. It's not,
yes.
There's no specific on this statement. So yeah. To me, my interpretation is that now we can go and counsel, give a spiritual counseling to the victims of COVID-19.
Okay. Let's get Reverend Kenneth Misho on the line as well, who's joining us, ACDP leader. Reverend Misho, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Alvin, and to all the listeners.
Sure. We are in conversation with Bishop Ngobo as well on the other end. And one of the issues that we're dealing with now is in relation to counseling. And Bishop Ngobo's interpretation of this line is that pastors would be allowed to go to the houses of their congregants to provide that counseling. Is that your interpretation as well?
That will include going to the houses.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
After funerals, what has been happening for the past few months is that people would disperse and mourners would go home to go and cry without anybody counseling them.
Mm.
A person like that who just lost a loved one, you cannot be expected to go to church to be counseled in church.
Mm.
They are hurting, they are in pain, they are crying. So it makes sense to go to where they are to do counseling there. So that statement does not limit where the need of counseling should be restricted. When there's an accident and the people are crying, people are sobbing, people, and a pastor hears about that. He has also that right and obligation to go there near the street, besides the street, and counsel those who are injured and those who are still waiting for ambulances to come. Then you'll be praying with them and speaking to them so that they don't give up and give up their souls, you know.
So does this mean that the pastors as well would be counseling people who are COVID-19 positive?
Anybody who requires counseling should be given counseling. Obviously, when people are already positive, pastors will have to be informed about precautionary measures they must take.
Mm.
It does not mean that if a person is positive, nobody should approach that person. Because they are hating every, that is why the work of the pastor has not been fully recognized, because it is one of the dangerous works. Because if a person, even if a person has leprosy, you need to know how to approach a person with leprosy. But if they request counseling, you cannot say no to them.
Okay, so you would then be allowed to go into a house where a person who is under self-quarantine would then be counseled?
Well, if they are in self-quarantine, I would advise them to wait until the 14 days is over and then we can talk. Otherwise, you have to do it telephonically.
Yeah, so which means then no counseling of people who are positive, not in their houses.
We have to respect the regulations.
Yeah.
When a person is told to be in self-quarantine or self-isolation, we have to respect that.
Yeah, because every positive person is told that.
Pardon?
Every positive person is told that you go into self-quarantine.
All right. Now, once I know that, then I will call that person. Counseling can be done face-to-face. It can also be done via Skype. Or it can be done telephonically.
Yeah.
So I'll just explain to that person that because of the situation that we need to respect, let's for now use this means to communicate.
Okay.
But afterwards, if you still have to continue face-to-face, we can do that.
If you can continue face-to-face?
No, I say afterwards.
Afterwards, then we can continue. Okay, so now you've put in, now you've put in all the other alternatives that are available. Why can't those alternatives just apply generally, up until we move to a point where the government says that we are now COVID-19 free, therefore we can start to interact? In the meantime, all counselling must happen via electronics.
It is not only people who are positive that need counseling.
Yes, yes. No, because I agree with you.
All right. Now, we know government has said the incidence of domestic violence have increased.
Mm-hmm.
So the victim many times would cry out and need somebody to mediate, and pastors are good at that, to mediate or to counsel them if they want to commit suicide. So they must have the liberty to counsel anyone, whether they are positive or not, whether they're victims of domestic violence. So to try to limit the areas and where they should be counseled, it's not fair.
Okay.
It's not fair. So what the president has decided, we believe, is the right thing he has done, because there are many people suffering that the media is not aware of, and that the media was not speaking on their behalf.
Yeah.
So the president is now saying, let everyone who needs counseling be counseled regardless of where they are. And obviously, if there are health protocols that must be observed, they definitely will be observed.
Okay, so does this mean no touching? Like when you pray for someone?
Well, one does not necessarily have to. If I have to touch, I can use gloves. But people, when it comes to counseling, normally I won't do touching. I don't know others, but I would advise them, obviously, to ensure that they are taking precautionary measures that are in place.
Okay, Bishop, when you do counseling, in terms of prayer, do you touch?
Are you talking to Bishop Ngcobo?
Yes, Bishop Ngcobo.
For now, no.
No touching.
Because we have to also to honor the call for the president, and also not to contravene the Disaster Management Act. So for now, things won't be same as before. So meaning that nobody will be touched, even inside the church. There will be no shaking of hands. That it will be the new thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there will be no laying hands to the people. That will be the new thing. Even collecting the money, or to collecting the contributions of the congregants, it cannot be exchange of money and all this stuff. We need now to develop the new things inside the house of the Lord, so that we can comply with the Disaster Management Act.
Okay, so 0619870000. You're tweeted Elder and St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also you can tweet at PowerFM987. We're in conversation with Bishop Timothy Ngcobo, as well as Reverend Kenneth Mishet, leader of the ACDP. Temba, good morning.
Hello, Putetren. Ninjani?
Good. How's it, Temba?
I'm fine, man. Putetren, I think one thing which we need to clarify for now is we need to ask ourselves, who is a church? Baba Kuluman, a church. What is a church? Because a church is not a building. When you read Romans 10, verse 9, it says, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit will receive the so-called gift of the Holy Spirit. So you are the church. We need to clarify that first, because you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And biblically, they say the gift of the Holy Spirit is your comforter, your advocate, your helper, the one which will lead you to all things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't know. Well, I'm not in a full-time ministry, but I still feel it's too early for us as children of God to gather together.
Okay.
Prayer is, you cannot limit a prayer. If one of my congregate is sick, he needs prayer, he can phone me, and I can, that's what I'm doing now during this lockdown. I intercede for my congregation.
Yeah.
A prayer does not have any distance. Let us not put our other lives in danger. I think for now, according to me, is still too early.
Okay, Timba,
please
hold the line. Let me get Reverend Misha to respond to that. Reverend, what do you make of that particular argument? That prayer doesn't necessarily have to be done in person, that you can do it over the line, as you've indicated as well, that there are various other technologies available to do counseling even over the line. So it may be a bit too early. to do home visits even?
Well, I partly agree with my brother. Mm. I partly agree with him. There's no distance with prayer. We agree. Counseling can be done telephonically. I agree. I did refer to that earlier on. But when people want together, they should not be refused that right. Okay? They should not be refused that right. Now, in the back of their minds, many people obviously are concerned about contacts because they've heard that people were infected in the church. But these people many times do not realize that the people they know about are people who gathered when there were no health protocols in place. This is a very important thing people must know. Mm-hmm. There were no health protocols. During the South Korean church infection that Dr. McKeesel had
patient about, 31,
during the, there were no health protocols. But now you have health protocols, which is going to make a difference. There won't be the hugging, the kissing, and all this that we have before the health protocols.
Yeah, so I think the thing is that why is it so important to go to church? To the building, to the structure that is called the church?
Well, if people who read the Bible, they know that Hebrews 10, verse 25 says you should not neglect the meeting of the saints.
Mm.
So it is something that the scripture talk about. And then David also said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So it is important. The kings like David were glad when they have to go to the house of the Lord. So you can worship at home, but there will be times when you will want to worship with your brothers and sisters.
But there was no COVID-19 at that time. There was no dangers of a respiratory infection. Am I correct, Reverend?
Well, I would agree with that. But at the same time, if people, when news reports inform the country that the majority of infections in the Western Cape happened at shopping malls, if people have the right to go to shopping malls, even when people are infected there, people should also have the right to go to church as they should have the right to go to any place. Everybody should understand that there is no place on earth, under heaven, that people can be insulated from being infected. So every person and can be infected anywhere. We have people who are infected also in hospitals. And you cannot say because people are infected in hospitals, people should stop going there. In police stations, it happens. In taxis, it happens. So there is no place under heaven where one would be insulated. There are risks all over. So people should not be stopped from going to church when they want to because they've heard that people are infected in church.
Mm. Reverend, what you're saying to me sounds very, very scary.
Even though
you have the shops that are opened, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody can do as they want, even though we have these regulations in place, right, Reverend?
I agree.
Yes.
I agree 100%.
So you try to minimize the spread of the virus and even the speed at which the virus is spreading.
That's not true.
Excuse me?
Not true. We are not trying to minimize. I'm just saying we must not bias against only one, only against the church. That's what I'm saying. Don't be biased. Accept the fact that everybody, anybody can be infected anywhere on planet Earth because there's not one place where anybody is insulated where they will never be infected. Medical doctors are infected unexpectedly. So infections take place all over. That we must accept. And we must encourage that wherever people are, they must observe all the necessary protocols. And when we do that, then we are minimizing the most important thing. Government gives regulations. They give directions. Let's abide and obey what government is saying so that infections will be minimized. That's what I'm saying.
But you just said that everyone will be infected. No one can be insulated.
Pardon?
You just said that no one can be insulated.
True. That's why medical doctors and nurses also get infected.
So are we then saying that let the congregants go, even those with underlying conditions? Okay, Reverend. Okay, I think let's come back after Power News headlines so that you can clarify that before we misinterpret you. It is just after 10:30. It's time for Power News headlines. We'll be taking your calls as well.
You're listening to Power Talk with Eldrin Sampier.
And we're taking your calls now on 0861-987-000. Just going to get quick clarity from Reverend Kenneth Misha around the remarks that he made a bit earlier on. You can also tweet at Elder and St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at Power FM 987. And this is regards that with regards to churches opening from the 1st of June, or services resuming from the 1st of June. And this would be after the National Day of Prayer that the President has asked for. So this coming Sunday, we will all be praying, those who believe in Christ and those who believe in our Lord and Savior as well. And okay. Reverend Misha.
May I say something before you speak, sir?
Sure.
I have missed 5 calls because 22, I have another call.
Okay.
Another interview. There are many radio stations that are asking for interviews, so please understand.
Sure. Totally understand. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. So just a quick clarity then, with what you are saying, in that we are not insulated, and the role of the church in that, in spreading the virus, the context thereof, and how do you prevent that, if at all possible?
Well, firstly, we have to accept the fact that no human being is insulated, number one.
Mm-hmm.
There is no medical doctor anywhere in the world who would want to be infected if there was a way of insulating one. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. We have unfortunately lost even nurses who died because of trying to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we must accept this fact that nobody would be insulated. That is why we all must be careful. We all must obey the regulations and apply them. And if we all do this, regardless of where we are, then we are minimizing the chances of being infected. And that's what I want everybody to understand, that the church is not the problem.
Mm.
The school is not the problem. Shopping malls are not the problem. Everywhere, everybody must do their best to ensure that they respect the necessary protocol.
Okay. Okay. Rev, do you agree that if you had not gone to the church service that you went to where you contracted the virus, that you wouldn't actually have contracted the virus? Let's leave out the precautionary measures and so forth. But if you do you agree that had you not gone to the church, that you would have not contracted the virus?
I don't think that is relevant, because you will not ask a question to a person who went to a mall. And I don't think you would ask a person who went to a mall.
Could be that the person was hungry and they had to go. It could be that the person was hungry. It could be that the person was hungry and had to go buy food. That's the reason why we have the shops opened.
So if people are hungry and other people need counseling, what's the difference? People are dying because being abused, because of violence, domestic violence. What's wrong with that? I don't think it is fair. Your question is not fair, and as a result, I will not answer it the way you want to. I will just say that people must not be disqualified and they must not be prejudiced because they were infected at the church or wherever.
Okay,
that's how I'm going to answer it. We just have to know that all of us, and when we were in Bloemfontein, there were no protocols that were in place.
Yes.
And there are places where there are protocols. And in spite of the protocols, people are still infected. So what we are saying is,
and that's the point, Reverend,
do their best to obey the rules.
And that's the point, Reverend, that in spite of the protocols, people are still infected. But now we are saying that let thousands and thousands of structures be allowed to operate, even though with 50 people. So what would the role of the church be in spreading that virus?
Well, it is not the church that's going to spread the virus, and I would not also agree with that it is a church, because it is a biased attitude against the church, and I would not buy it.
Okay. Last one, Reverend. Would you be, in terms of
everybody,
the church...
Everybody, regardless of...
Sure.
In the mind, everybody must be cautious.
Okay, so with regards to the church services, do you know whether the churches themselves would have an age restriction, in that the older people who we know are more susceptible to the virus and the virus is more lethal towards them, that they would not be allowed to attend those services?
Well, the churches and the ministers obviously will have to discuss that matter, how to do that. I have seen many go-go's, old people at the malls, and the management allows them in the malls and they don't say anything to them. If the churches must not be condemned, if, and I use the word if they see gogos going to church, because in the mosque they are allowed. And I'm saying, let there be no discrimination in the church, let there be no discrimination of people who want to go to church. Whoever is allowed in the mall should also be allowed in the church.
Well, thank you so much, Reverend Kenneth Misha. Whoever is allowed in the mall should be allowed in a church.
Power 98.7, progressively elevating the conversation. Now, we're talking. Power 98.7, progressively elevating the conversation. Now, we're talking.
Sean, good morning.
Morning, Elgin. Quick answer on why churches need to reopen. Tidings. Luxury German cars cost a lot of money every month. And I would love to see that top 50 list of who's actually going to get invited to church. Guaranteed it's going to be the top 50 biggest donors, because the church needs money to function. But I think just listening to what frustration you're experiencing and how frustrating this conversation is a great example of why you can't have a scientific debate in the realm of fantasy. It just doesn't work. And this is a great example of it. You know, Elgin, the last thing we need, whatever faith I had left in this process was gone on Sunday with the announcement of the alcohol sales. It basically writes off all our sacrifice. And this today announcement writes off whatever faith I had left. The last thing we need is more people going in between hospitals where we know people are sick to visit people with COVID and then going to homes. The process is insane, and it makes me feel like I'm crazy just questioning it. As your guest said there earlier, he was part of the first spread of this, or what we could say was the first concentrated case. Yeah. And then spread in this country was church leaders. And if anybody listening to this thinks their God is stronger than COVID or viruses or the bacterial theory, look at America. There are people there who fought to go to church. There are people who fought to go back to praise their God. And now they're dead, 100,000 of them.
Yeah.
So this is an issue of sobriety, logic, and science. I understand people can have their religion. I accept people have religion and faith. That's fine. Keep it to yourself. Keep it behind closed doors and enjoy it there. But when you're talking about a public health issue that is so dire that people are dying in their thousands, we need to deal with this in a scientific way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality. And like I say, anybody who thinks their God is stronger than this virus, go look at the numbers and think of it again. There are old women in Italy who died with Bibles in their hands, the home of the Roman Catholic Church. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. Let's deal with this in a scientific way.
Okay. Michael, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I want to just tell you what the biggest problem is with the churches. It's not the big churches that can take 2,000 or 3,000 people or 1,000 people. It's all these small churches that take 50 people, and they will take 50 people, and they'll be chock-a-block every Sunday, and on every corner in Hillbrow and in Yeovil and in all these small townships. And that's where the infection is going to spread the worst. And then that same preacher is going to go to the house after he's preached, go to everybody's house and go and give them a seminar or whatever, and this and this, go from house to house to house to house, and you'll spread the virus with it. I mean, I'm not even allowed my girlfriend to come to my house. She's living in another house, and I'm living in another house, and we're one person. But the preacher's allowed to go from house to house to house to house to house. I mean, he's going to spread the virus so much quicker because he's just come from a congregation of 50 people that were in a room of 50 people.
Yeah.
You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And that happens every Sunday on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to open all those churches, the big churches that take 5,000 people, that 50 people are there, that's a different story because they'll be far apart.
Yeah.
Then we might as well open soccer stadiums. They're 5,000 people, we've got 50 people there. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally.
So why are they giving preference to the churches?
Okay, we'll be speaking to Advocate Zahir Omar in just in the next few minutes, and he represents the Muslim group that took the president to court and trying to allow services to continue. And you remember that incident as well, where the police walked into a mosque during a prayer, and Minister Begicele had to apologize for that as well. Kagiso, good morning.
Hi, Aldrin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, listening to the pastors and the reverend say, I just felt like my heart was bleeding. Because as our spiritual leaders at this moment, we are expecting them to communicate the heavens. You understand? Around the world, what is God saying to us with this pandemic that is happening? Because I strongly believe that it's got its own spiritual messages to us. But for them, all that they are focused on is the salaries, is the money from the congregation, and which is us.
Yeah.
And they do forget that with this lockdown, we are also being locked down. We are stressed, our kids, the schools want to open. We are stressed of our kids' health. They are not even bringing any counseling in regards with that, with the government. They are not communicating of that.
Yeah.
All they are worried is the money that we bring to church every Sunday. And even now, I can tell you, Aldrin, they are going to limit people according to people that type.
Yeah.
They are not just going to take anyone in. So my heart is bleeding. I'm even asking myself, maybe it's time that we bring goggles. Baba Tsatsi Zeng, South Africa in regards with the guidance of spirituality, because our religious leaders that we were hoping that will bring us answers, they are letting us down.
Okay, no, thank you for that. So as I've said, that we will be speaking to Zahir Omar, who is the attorney who represented a Muslim group that took the president to court. Zahir, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning to you, Aldrin.
Sure. Zahir, just a quick reminder why it was that there was this intention to take the president to court.
No, we did take the matter to court. The reason we took the matter to court was because, we are not a secular state. We are a state where we acknowledge the existence of God, and that is clear from the preamble. And there are two sections in Chapter 2 of the Constitution that protect religious freedoms and religious practices. Now, the matter was taken to court for Judge Newcastle, and the people who took the matter to court are Muslim people. But the relief prayed for was the right to worship in congregation. It was not relief prayed for exclusive people, for Muslim people.
Mm.
It was for all and sundry.
Mm.
Now, Alvin, look, what was important, Judge Newcastle dismissed our application, and the application is now before the Constitutional Court.
Mm.
And the announcement yesterday and the pending Constitutional Court proceedings I will cover shortly. But Aldrin, in 1994, we embraced a Bill of Rights and a Constitution. We moved from a Westminster democracy to a constitutional democracy. Now, at Kodessa, we were mindful of the crisis gripping our country.
Mm.
And we made provision for this in Section 36 and Section 37 of Chapter 2 of the Constitution.
Mm.
Now, we should avoid a knee-jerk hysterical reaction to a crisis, as such a knee-jerk reaction would result in us allowing our civil liberties protected by Chapter 2 to be jettisoned or denied to the people of South Africa. This is exactly what happened. The proper manner in which this crisis ought to have been dealt with was in terms of Section 36 and then with Section 37. That was declaring a state of emergency. And it is only once a state of emergency is declared, under the State of Emergency Act, may regulations be passed to restrict or limit the rights in the Bill of Rights, which rights include the right to worship, the right to trade, the right to work.
Mm.
And once a state of emergency is declared, that in terms of Section 231 of our Constitution, the United Nations will set up a monitoring body that will monitor to see whether the fundamental rights in our country protected in the Constitution are not abused.
Mm.
Now, the failure to take the right route resulted in people being killed by the police. We had a minister of police whose complete disregard to the rights protecting people against brutality. He is the reason IMF are not going to provide a loan to the country, or if they are going to do so, it's going to be under very heavy interest and the amount will be very, very limited.
Mm.
And we have him still being the Minister of Police. Then we have the President. The President, with respect, assumed the power of the entire government. He started a national Corona Council. This council made law. This law bypassed all the scrutiny that all other laws are subject to. Then as far as gatherings are concerned, Alvin, in terms of the Regulation of Gatherings Act, a gathering of more than 15 people is lawful provided the local magistrate is informed.
Okay.
Now the Constitutional Court case will continue despite the announcement by the president last. And the president, it is not his function. It is the Minister of COCTA who's assigned the power in law.
Yeah.
Out, gave an interview, had himself covered on all the media platforms, escapes me.
Okay. No, thank you so much for that, Zahir Omar, who is a representative of the Muslim group that took the president to court, and as he's just indicated, that the Constitutional Court will be continuing. In the meantime, we're taking your calls on 0861-987-000, your tweets at Alderan St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also you can tweet at PowerFM987.
The mindset of an inspired generation. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
Marco Sonke, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Mm.
Yes, you're doing a great job, man. We need to hold our leaders accountable, eh?
I just
want to tell you that.
Thank you, man.
Yes, for me, with all my heart. But there has to be few clarity that I need to be satisfied with before I can go back to church. Number one, I want to understand from our spiritual leadership that do they even, how do they define this coronavirus besides the scientific definition that we got, that is a coronavirus? Do they take it as a supernatural thing or do they take it as a natural thing? That's number one. Number two, what measure do they use to actually measure on their congregants in terms of their spiritual levels? Because there's different levels when we go to church. We are not in the same level. There are those who are treating it as a lifestyle, like I treat it as a lifestyle. You know, there are those who have an encounter with God when they are in the church, or they open the Bible when they're in the church. So how do they measure that? What measure do they use to do that? And number three, what I want to understand also is that what measure do they use to measure what is going on in churches across the country in terms of spiritual levels? Because obviously we had challenges with churches that made funny things, you know, that mock the word of God, you know? So what measures do they use to check that? So if they cannot check that, then what gives me confidence to say people should go to church? And then lastly, I just want to find out what response do they had, a proactive response in terms of an assistant in terms of the pandemic that we are facing. For an example, how many beds do they have available to respond to this as the church? Because right now they want to add in the problem that we are having from where I'm standing. If they cannot answer what I'm asking, you understand?
Yeah.
So if I can be answered with that, then I think everybody also would want to get that clarity, because you cannot just say to us we should go back to church. But the thing is, do you understand what you are dealing with?
Yeah, no, certainly. Sipo on Twitter says that the president just threw the frontline workers under the bus. The healthcare system was not coping even before COVID-19, Joe. And Sigo says, your Reverend Kenneth Misha is frustrating me. He's just excited to open church, but doesn't care about the consequences. And Martin is saying that I get worried listening to Honorable Reverend Misha. What he is saying is dangerous, and Kileto responding to that, saying that he should have just answered the question that was posed at him. Is about to get real here in South Africa with a broken heart emoticon. Zaki saying that Kenneth Misha, he's not a pastor that I thought he is. He's the kind of pastors who want to benefit from the church he's owning. So if he's answering you in that way, why people still trust his ministry? Shame to this politician pastor. And Tabo saying, but why does Reverend Misha keep talking about domestic violence as if it's a new thing? That is only happening because churches were closed. There was domestic violence before COVID-19 and the church couldn't stop it. That's an issue for the police, not the church. And Cool Cat saying that the more I listen to Reverend Misha, the more I know that these so-called faith leaders are so selfish and are in it for the money, they realize that without the churches operating, there is no revenue, which is very selfish. Dineo, good morning.
Good morning, Eldon. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm so frustrated by these pastors, I promise you. I'm listening to the Reverend, and I had high respect for this man. And I promise you, from this point on, gone.
Eldon, why is that?
This guy, I don't know if there's a way, a respectable way of calling himself it.
Yeah.
Because I want to use that term, but I don't have it right now. This guy, we were told that if you contract this virus, you carry some sort of immunity, once you're healed. And I feel like he's using that because he's not bothered that you're asking him, what about the elderly people? Mm. He says, he's not bothered. He wants them to come. If they want to come, they can come.
If they're allowed in malls, they should be allowed in churches.
He allows them to go there and get sick. Whereas he said, people who are sick, people who have this virus, they can come to church and be prayed for and he'll arrange something. So all these people will be in one place, along with the elderly. Like, he doesn't care. He really doesn't care, and he's arrogant about his answers, and that's just wrong for the Reverend. Like, I'm so disappointed in the Reverend.
Okay. Litabo, good morning.
Morning. Yeah, I'm also disappointed by the Reverend. Well, they must just continue with their business as usual. These businessmen, that's what we call them, seeing that they are very desperate to go back to church because of, you know, what they get out of the church.
Yeah.
But they must just continue with business as usual on Sundays. But please, we are requesting you, pastors out there, we are requesting you, leave out the elderlies out of the church, please, and the people with underlying conditions, please leave them out of the church, because they keep on talking about counseling. If more people are infected in the church, if that gets overwhelming, will they be able to deal with that?
Yeah.
Because now they keep on talking about. And the other thing is that he's like saying, why are they taking their money to the malls? Why are we saying they mustn't come to church and bring their contribution to church if they are taking it to the mall? He's very, very selfish and very reckless in his ways.
Okay. Pastor Nkosi, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I can hear people that are talking. Whereby we are supposed to talk about the solution of this thing to help, to put hand.
Yeah.
The government, the president himself has given us that it's all on your hands. We need to worship God. We need to pray. But even although we are going to do that, what the government is doing is it was supposed to help them, that we ask that everyone who comes to church must be tested. Everyone, whether you are going to the church, you are going to the mall, they will put this thing that everyone, not screening, people, they might need to be tested. You must know yourself. One day I've been tested. I found my results. Although even the places where we go and test, they don't treat people in the right way.
Yeah. You see, Pastor Nkosi, the difficulty with that, even with the testing, is that you could test and you turn out to be, on the day that you went for the test, you were actually negative, or you were actually negative on that particular day. But the moment that you left the facility where you got tested at, you may have contracted the virus. But now you rely on results based on the day that you went for the test. And you're using those results to go back to
church. The day you went there, they must supposed to give up a waiting period. And then after 14 days, they test again. There must be two second tests. And then once the second test, like now I've been tested, and then I take care of myself.
Yeah.
I make sure that I put mask. I make sure that I sanitize myself. I make sure that I keep distance. Because I went there and then I tested. And even although they can say I can repeat it, I can go and repeat it. Then the people who doesn't know himself, they can scream you. They're screaming. Those who are going each and every house, they say they are screaming. They don't have even the thermometer to check the temperature.
So then in this particular case, because there's no testing that's happening at churches, or there won't be any testing that's happening at churches, if you look at what the president had said, that's not a pre-requirement. So do you think that churches should remain closed in the meantime up until we have the testing capacity at churches?
The president, he has said, we must have equipment to screen people.
Yes.
It is not about screening alone.
Yeah. So now I'm asking that in the absence of the testing facilities, are you then saying that churches should hold back a bit up until they have the testing capacity? Hi, Pastor Nkosi. Pastor Nkosi?
Yes.
Hi, Pastor Nkosi?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. If they allow the pastors to start worshiping, start praying, because everything was closed down, there were only those who got the access of internet.
Okay, this is not working. Sakolisa Pastor Nkosi there. The lines are here. Akil on Twitter says, if a mine can operate for 12 hours, a shift with the supply of artificial oxygen for non-essential minerals, churches can function with better measures. We have already been delivered from evil and led into the dark valley of death. And Aladette saying that disappointing to hear Mr. Misha making a fool of himself. You're the arrogance of the guy. And same thought, he's saying that I'm very fearful church and religion is about to take on a new form of religious extremism that is bordering on the line of terrorism. Their desperation is about to kill us. Sure. Loreka saying that church services under level 3 is too risky. The president might have granted them permission to hold gatherings, but nobody is forcing them to reopen. Churches need to act responsibly. And Nseki saying that how do you emotionally survive, bro? Yo, I'm happy I'm not a journalist nor a talk show host. Won't be able to keep my cool when talking to the likes of Mishwe as well as Ngobo. The BCCSA would be all over me in a week. Well, it is what it is. That's just how it happens. It's just after 11 o'clock. It's time for Power News.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.